What a blessing the music has been today. Thank you, Carrie, and the choir, and the children's choir, and Alva, and the ensemble. And thank you, Bill, and all of the men's chorus for being here. Bill Chunstead, he's been such a good friend as we've worked together over the years, and it's a real pleasure to have the men's chorus here today. Have lots of friends in it, and of course, several of our members. Bailey Gillespie on the back row has been a friend for 55 years, and as he said first service, still friends after all that time. And of course, a special privilege to have someone in this group that I've known for even more than 55 years, though he will not want me to admit that, and that's my brother, David, and just a joy to have him singing here. One of the great joys of my ministry here was the privilege of baptizing him a few years ago. So, well, I had been here at Azure Hills for just a few weeks when I overheard some church members talking about the new pastor, namely me. The first thing that one of them said, I would have to wholeheartedly agree with. They said, you know, he's certainly not as good a preacher as Maury Vinden. And another one said, well, you know, but he does seem personable. I don't know if that makes up for it or not. We'll have to wait and see. I guess it's inevitable that people compare ministers. It's nothing new. It's been happening for a long, long time. In Corinth, Paul found that the people were comparing ministers, but there they weren't just comparing, they were dividing themselves and lining up behind different ministers, so that some of them were saying, well, we're followers of Paul, and others were saying, well, we like the wisdom of Apollos, and we follow him, and others said, oh, but we follow one of the disciples, Peter himself. And others in their pride said, well, we don't follow any of those people. We follow Christ. And Paul spends the first four chapters of that letter trying to bring these people together into unity. He asked the question, was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized into the name of Paul? And then we see a little of the human side of Scripture. Paul says, I'm glad I didn't baptize any of you. Oh yes, I did baptize Crispus and Gaius, but I didn't baptize anyone else. Oh yes, I did baptize the household of Stephanus. Well, I don't remember if I baptized anybody else, but the point is, and he goes on to talk about how they need to come together in unity, kind of the human side of the Bible. And in chapter 3, he talks about ministers. He uses the metaphor of a field or a garden that has seeds planted in it and that gets watered. He says, beginning with verse 5, what then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe as each was assigned their task. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. Therefore, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Paul says of ministers, those who plant and water the garden, that they are nothing. He says they're not anything. They are nothing. Now, I don't find it insulting to hear that I'm not as good a preacher as Maury Vinden. That's kind of like saying you're not as good a basketball player as Michael Jordan. You know, duh, what else is new? But to say we're nothing? Zero? Zilch? One of the kids in the front row first service added, nada? That kind of does sound insulting. Are we really nothing? Well, Paul says so. There are two reasons. Two reasons why ministers are nothing. Number one is that no matter what they do in terms of planting and watering and raking and hoeing, the fact is that ministers cannot make growth happen. Only God can do that. Talking about real growth. Oh, I mean, this isn't just the growth that maybe makes sure the pews are full. Talking about real growth, kingdom growth, the kind of growth that changes and transforms people from empty, purposeless existence to the joy and the peace of knowing Jesus and serving Him. Talking about the kind of growth that transforms communities that are selfish into caring, loving, serving communities that make this world more like God's kingdom so that His will is done on earth as it is in heaven. That kind of growth only comes from God. We cannot make it happen ourselves. In fact, God could even do the planting and the watering. Look at nature. There are all kinds of ways that God can scatter seed and He can cause it to rain. But He gives to us the privilege of having a part in the garden and watching this wonderful growth that comes only from God. And I have seen it happen over and over here. It was over 50 years ago that Don Gray and Lloyd Wyman planted the seed for the Azure Hills Church. And in the intervening 50 years, there have been 9 senior pastors and about 40 associate pastors. I've had the privilege of working with 21 associate pastors over the years that I've been here. And you could not find a more talented and dedicated group of people anywhere in the world. And you know, I will admit to you, this is, I know, a weakness on my part, it's one of my temptations, but every time one of those associate pastors takes a call somewhere else, I panic. And I say, oh no, what are we going to do now? This ministry is going to fall apart. We can't go on without them. And then the Lord sends someone else, just the right person to carry on what that person has planted and now to water it and see it grow. It's happened over and over again. And I will say that the team of pastors that are here right now, it's the best team of pastors any church in the world has. And you are in very, very good hands. And I know that God will lead in bringing the next gardener to this field. I have great confidence in our pastoral staff who will be involved, in our church board from whom the search committee will come, and Sandra Roberts, our conference president, will chair the search committee. And I know that she will do a wonderful job. She's one of the best administrators I have ever seen or worked with. So I know that you are in good hands. I'm glad for that. I want you to remember something, though. When the new pastor, whoever she or he might be, arrives, I want you to remember something that someone once said. They said, new pastors are kind of like new pairs of shoes. You know, your old shoes you've worn so long that all the cracks are in the right place and they've kind of molded themselves to your feet and it hardly feels like you have shoes on at all. They've become so comfortable. And then you buy a new pair of shoes and it's not with all the cracks in the right place, and they're not broken in, and they feel kind of stiff and maybe a little uncomfortable, and maybe there's even a place where they hurt your feet. But they get broken in too and become just as comfortable. So be patient. Be as gracious as you were with me. And remember that it's probably kind of hard on the shoes, too. Paul says ministers are nothing because only God can give the growth. So ministers are not zeros if they're connected with God. God can work through them. God can use them. But only if there's that connection with God, because only God can bring the growth. But there's a second reason Paul says ministers are nothing. They're zeros. Because ministers can't do anything unless they're part of the fertile soil of a community of believers committed to Jesus Christ in unity and purpose. You see, God brings the growth, but human beings can thwart that growth. They can stifle the growth by their actions. That's why Paul was so concerned about the church at Corinth, because he knew that these divisions that they had and this hostility and animosity they had toward each other would stifle the work that God wanted to do in bringing kingdom growth to that community. And that's why he spends four chapters trying to bring them together into unity. I will tell you something. Azure Hills doesn't need those first four chapters of Corinthians, because you are a church that is unified in purpose and commitment and works together so well as a team. Whether we're talking about the music program or the audiovisual work or the great kids who are back there running our live streaming or our Sabbath schools, or our adventurers, or our pathfinders, or the social committee, as you will see tonight. Everybody just works together as a team, and there is a sense of purpose and vision in this church. And that kind of soil enables God to bring growth. And that's why there's been this growth over the last 50 years. I have a good friend who is the dean of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University, Dave Thomas. He's pastored a number of congregations. He is an astute observer of congregations. And he visited us once, was just here for a day. But he attended worship service and he walked around. And afterwards he said, "This is a congregation with a purpose and a vision." He said, "This is not a pastor-dependent congregation. This is a congregation that knows where they're going and works together." And I said, "You're very astute. You observed well in that one day, because that's what this congregation is like." And ministers are nothing unless they are part of that kind of a believing community. You see, ministers are just part of the community. We have a unique role, but so do all of you in that field. That's one of the reasons that we come forward from the congregation to speak and sit with the congregation, because we are part of the congregation. Ministers are nothing unless they're connected with God, but ministers are also nothing unless they are connected with a community of believers who are unified and committed to the kingdom of God. And you are that way. And I thank you for that. I thank you for your gracious teamwork. I saw an example of some astounding teamwork a few nights ago, and it reminded me of the Azure Hills Church. My son Larry and my grandson Marcus and I were at Wrigley Field, Chicago, the friendly confines, a week ago last Tuesday night. Now, Wrigley Field is a place where they've been playing baseball for 101 years, Major League Baseball for 101 years. It's unlike any other ballpark. There's a roof. You're crowded together, it's always a sellout, And that roof makes it echo, so you just hear a constant roar. And it gives a sense of excitement. You can hear every vendor selling up and down the aisles. You hear a loud crack every time the pitcher throws and it hits the mitt of the catcher. It's quite an environment. And we saw an example of amazing teamwork, astounding teamwork, that caused people to stand and cheer. And it didn't come from baseball players. I'll tell you what happened. Three innings about into the game, and it was a good game. Wind blowing out to left field, already several home runs by the third inning. And all of a sudden, a light lit up the Chicago sky. And a few seconds later, the roar of thunder. And then the sky just opened, and it didn't come down in drops. It came down in sheets. You could hardly see across the field. It was raining so hard. We were under the roof, but we got soaked because there's a space with a fence between the seats and the roof, and the rain was coming in sideways through that, and we were drenched. And that lightning and thunder got closer and closer, and the time between the flash of lightning and the roar of thunder became less and less, until finally it was simultaneous, and the thunder was no longer the roar of thunder, but it was just a loud crack and bang. Right at the same moment, we would see the bolt coming down from the sky. And it went on for almost an hour and a half, and Marcus found it very exciting. Finally, the storm passed, and we could see the lightning go off in the other direction, and the rain stopped. And that's when we saw this amazing teamwork. It was not from baseball players. It was from gardeners of a sort, groundskeepers. About 40 of them ran onto the field, and they went to the tarp that had been placed over the infield, and they pulled that tarp all together, and I'm sure it's very heavy, but with all of them pulling right together, they opened it up, and they did it in such a way that the water, and there was lots of water standing on top of the tarp, all went one direction. And I looked at it, and there was so much water, it was so soggy. The warning track was like a lake. There were puddles in the outfield and all this water standing on the tarp. And I said, they're never going to play ball here tonight. Let's go home. But we were amazed. After they got the tarp off and folded, they came out with what looked like push brooms, but they were flat on the bottom and they were water pushers, and they would surround these puddles. And there were drains in the field, and they would push the water toward the drains, and we saw the lakes get smaller and smaller. And then after they had gotten most of that water off, they went back into the dugout, and they all came running out, and they ran everything they did with these great big sacks of sand. I don't know if they were 50 or 100 pounds. Each one had a sack, and they lined up in a perfect circle around the base path, same distance apart, each one of them, and they each dumped that bag of sand and then took a rake and started raking it around, and then someone came and smoothed out the whole thing. And they went out and pushed the water in those puddles in the outfield, and they went out to the warning track, and they did the same with more sand. And in less than an hour, it had been transformed from a soggy mass of lakes to a beautiful baseball field again. And when they all went running off the field, the fans stood and cheered for them. And I think Marcus said it was just about as interesting as watching the baseball to see those guys work. And I thought that's a good example of the Azure Hills Church, a gracious community that works together. And I know that God will continue to bless as you are that kind of garden, that kind of field that has the fertile ground that God can bless. So ministers are nothing unless connected to God, unless part of a gracious congregation that is fertile ground for God to bring growth. A few weeks ago on National Public Radio, I heard an interview with one of the members of the Juilliard String Quartet. He is just about my age, in early 70s, and he is retiring after 40 years in the Juilliard String Quartet. And the interviewer asked him, "Is there anything you're going to miss?" And he laughed, and he said, "Anything I'm going to miss? I'm going to miss every single note." I know just how he felt, because I'm going to miss every single note here, and I'm going to miss every single one of you. But I'm glad we're on live stream, so I can watch and keep track of you, and I'll be able to see who's here. And we will look on with great interest and many prayers. Back in the 60s, Peter, Paul, and Mary sang a song called the Garden Song. The chorus went, "Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground." Well, it takes more than just a rake and a hoe. They're right, though. It does take a piece of fertile ground, like the Azure Hills Church. But then it was almost as if the song recognizes that no, rakes and hoes aren't enough. It takes more for growth. And the song goes on, "Inch by inch, row by row, someone bless these seeds I've sown. Someone warm them from below, till the rains come tumbling down." My prayer for this congregation is that God will bless the seeds that have been sown over the last 50 years, that he will come and warm them from below until the rain of God's Spirit, the latter rain, comes tumbling down and Jesus comes again. And the seeds that have been sown here over the last 50 years will be like that mustard seed that Jesus talked about in his story. It started so small, but it grew and flourished until it became nothing less than the kingdom of God. My prayer is that that's what will happen to the seeds here, and we will all be together and enjoy fellowship with God and with each other for all eternity.